careful and prayerful attention to our brother Adam at this time. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'm very happy to be here tonight. Thank you for that beautiful song. And I, since I've been off on Sundays every day, take my son home for every Sunday. I take my son home for a nap, and we come back. It's usually always about the time the choir's practicing, and I love that song. And for several weeks, I just sat in the back and listened and sang along. And it's hard not to love Jesus when He blesses us so much. And I just want to echo what my brother Bill said, that that song we sang, wow. I'm blessed to have a greater understanding of the Spirit than I ever used to. And as we sang that song, feeling the Spirit swell in here, it was beautiful, beautiful. And truly to the Lord belongs all of our thanksgiving and our praise. I am glad to be here tonight, and I have a message to bring. And I just kind of want to preface this so that as I was preparing for this sermon, my mind kind of went in two or three different directions. And I wrote down all my thoughts. And it was, I just couldn't seem to move it together. I just couldn't get it together. And we went to the ski trip, and I thought about it a lot while we were there. And on the way home, as I was driving, my whole vehicle, everybody was asleep. And as I was driving, I just kind of thinking, the Lord put things together and kind of weaved it together in the way that only He can, showing me that I don't know anything. I am simply just a man who's trying to do what He wants, and He's gives me that wisdom from time to time. And I feel like what I have to bring tonight is wisdom for all of us. And so the title for my sermon tonight is Above All Else, to be spiritually born of God. And as I preach this tonight, I'm gonna kind of draw a parallel to our spiritual walk to the beginning of life, and from the beginning of life of a baby, from conception to birth of that child. As I was thinking about it, I have trouble anymore looking at things in life and not seeing a spiritual equivalent. And I think that's why Christ, when He preached, He used parables, because it's easy for us to understand. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about being spiritually born of God, and I'm going to liken it to a child being created and growing and being born. I'm going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And for those of you who are on the ski trip, this probably isn't a surprise to you. Because this was our theme. We had a good study, and then this was used in our prayer service. And our brother Brandon elaborated on this very well and hit on a lot of the thoughts that I had. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are His." And when I read this scripture, what I feel like it's talking about, Christ created all of us. And so in that sense, He knows all of us. He knows our names. He knows our thoughts. He knows us. But I feel like what this scripture is talking about specifically is those who have chosen to follow Christ. Those who have entered the waters of baptism. Those who have placed themselves before the Lord, confessing their sins, repenting, and making that commitment that they're going to follow Him, that they're going to follow His commandments, adhere to those things that He wants us to do. And, as I'm going to outline in this sermon, I'm going to talk about being spiritually born of God, being spiritually known of God. And to be truly known of God is to have taken on His name through baptism. Receiving the Holy Ghost through laying on of hands. We know that the Scriptures say that then our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. However, I think it's important that we realize that when I make the statement about being spiritually born of God, that's not baptism. We'll just read about this here in 2 Nephi, chapter 13, and it's going to be on page 162. 2 Nephi 13, we'll start on verse 24. It says, "For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. Then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then ye are in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son." I'll read one more. "Ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses to the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that ye have entered in by the way ye should receive." So we read this right here, and it makes this statement. It says that when we're baptized, we enter in at the gate. We're now in. We're into this walk, into this spiritual walk toward eternal life. But that's just the beginning. It's not being spiritually born of God yet. It's the beginning. You know, you've entered into the gate, but you're not there. And to draw that parallel, you know, baptism is just the beginning. It's essential. We know in the scriptures, and I don't want to, in my sermon tonight, I don't want to downplay baptism. I certainly hope I'm not. I just want to pound on it for a second that we all know, and if we don't, we should know that baptism is the key to our salvation. The scriptures say that you can't even see the kingdom of heaven if you're not baptized. And that's the way that we enter into the path that the Lord wants us to. However, we're expected to do more. We're expected to have more. And likewise, a baby, you know, I don't want to get too technical or anything. We all know how a baby is made. But, and I'm not talking about that. I'm sorry. I'm going to be embarrassed now. All you parents are going to have something to explain tonight. But we know that there is a moment when life begins, where that child grows and the cells start to split. And that's, you know, we believe that's the beginning of life. And, you know, it's the same with baptism. Baptism is that beginning. It's where those cells start splitting. It's the beginning of life. And there's a lot to do from there. That's just the beginning. So, you know, when this new life is started in a mother, it's the same thing as when we're in the waters of baptism. Just the beginning. And there's a lot that has to happen. You know, when a child is growing, there's essential things that happen. You know, the child begins to form. You know, the cells split and split and split, and eventually, you know, it starts to form. Organs start to develop and grow. The child, you know, begins to eat, and it's fed by the mother. It sleeps, it plays. I didn't realize this until Rebecca was pregnant, but it has hiccups. Who would have thought of that? I thought she was joking, but the kid does. It has hiccups in there. And, you know, as it takes form and as this child grows, it begins this relationship with the mother. I can't explain this relationship that a mother has with their child. I'll never be able to understand it. And given what all has to happen, I really don't know that I want to. But I know that's a special bond. And this is the same with the baptized member. You know, after we're baptized, things become different. I remember when I was baptized, and it really wasn't that long ago, 6 or 7 years ago, life all of a sudden became different. I began to see things differently. And not that I didn't make mistakes, because I did. But life was different, and I began to understand things differently. And I began to feel the Lord differently. And I began to test and to move and to do all those things that this little child does inside of its mother. And this interaction and this relationship began to grow with the Lord and I. And so, let me find my place here. You know, that's after we're baptized, this is what happens, is we start to grow and we start to mature. And this new relationship starts to grow. You know, it's not that we didn't know the Lord before, but it's different. It's different. And we're on a different playing field than we were before. And so I want us to think about that. You know, when the child is in the womb and it's growing, it begins to interact with its mother. You know, at first it might be just the baby stretching and moving around. But eventually that child becomes aware and it starts kicking and hitting and that sort of thing. And what do? As soon as we see the child kicking and hitting, well, we start to play back. And I've been known to, you know, I like to walk up and shake, try to make the baby move and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's cool. It's cool to feel the baby kicking at you and all that. And you know, this child becomes aware, becomes, you know, kicking at you, poking, and chases the hand on the belly and that sort of thing. And you know, as a child of Christ who's taken his name through the waters of baptism, you know, when we begin praying and seeking the Lord, interacting with him, you know, we start to come to this new awareness that we can reach out to the Lord and he's going to reach back to us. And that's important that we do. It's important that, you know, we spend our time seeking the Lord and praying and doing those things and growing in our faith and realizing that when we reach for the Lord, He's going to reach back to us. You know, we begin to see that we're given blessings that we haven't been aware of previously because our interaction with the Lord grows. Just like that mom and that child, you know, she's never seen him. She doesn't know what he looks like. But that bond grows because they're there and they're feeling each other and they're growing together. And as that child who is born, who is conceived through the waters of baptism, you know, that's what starts to happen. That's what we have to endeavor to happen. You know, that's not, you know, we all have a choice in that. But that's the plan that the Lord has. You know, he has that once you enter into that gate, that you're starting to progress. We know we're given peace in times of trouble, direction from the Holy Ghost to guide us and to dwell in us, just as our Father would give us, you know, as the Father would give a child. And we begin to develop spiritually and emotionally, just as a child develops physically and mentally. So that's the beginning. Baptism is the beginning. Baptism is the beginning of life for this little child, that little child that we are when we come out of the waters of baptism. If we turn to page 314 in the Book of Mormon, I'm going to read just a few verses in Alma chapter 3. Page 314, Alma chapter 3, we'll start in verse 27. It says, "And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you been spiritually born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts?" What I want to ask you guys tonight is what is it to be spiritually born of God? This is, when I started preparing for this sermon, this is the scripture that the Lord led me to. And I started mulling it over in my mind and trying to think, you know, what's the significance of this verse? And I think that the Lord kind of gave me, maybe it's just new insight for me, I don't know. Maybe this is something that's review for all you guys. But to me, this knowledge was given to me, this understanding as I studied about it, that, you know, I believe that to be truly born of God is to place God above everything else in every aspect of life, above all else. And we have to realize, we have to acknowledge, and we have to abide by the understanding that God is above us. That God is above us and we are below Him. And that He knows better. And that He has a better plan for us. And that as humans, we are destined to make mistakes and we are destined to act of our own accord. And yet the Lord knows better than us. And you know, society these days doesn't want to accept that because society doesn't want to believe that there's anything above us. And I could spend a whole sermon talking about how society is teaching us that you know, we don't need the Lord and that the Lord doesn't exist and that man is capable of anything. However, we know better than that. We know that the Lord is above us and He is all-powerful, has all wisdom. And when we're spiritually born of God, to be spiritually born of God, we have to realize that God is above us. And it's more than that, and we're going to get into that. But I just want to read a couple scriptures just to emphasize that point, that God is above us. So let's turn to page 176 in the Book of Mormon. And we're going to read in the book of Jacob, chapter 3. Jacob, chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 9. Once again, that's on page 176, verse 9. Says, "Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him. It is impossible that man should find out all His ways. And no man knoweth of His ways, save it should be revealed to him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of His word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of His word. Wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, oh, then why not able to command the earth or the workmanship of His hands on the face of it according to His will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from His hand." God is above us. With a word, He created us. With a word, He created the earth. With less than that, he could destroy all of it if he cared to. With a thought, he can bless us beyond all measure. God is above us, and we're below him. And I like this verse 14. It says, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. You know, we have to acknowledge that God is above us. That has to be in every aspect of our life. And as we walk through this life, we need to understand that there is someone who knows better. And as one who has entered into the waters of baptism, we're expected to act on that knowledge, that there is someone who knows better. A couple more scriptures just to emphasize this point, because I think it's important that we realize that God is above us. Isaiah 55. This is real quick, and I'll probably read it before you guys get there. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have to realize that the Lord, his understanding is, you know, we can't even begin to understand like he does. We can't even begin to think how he does. We see things with our human eyes, and yet the Lord sees it with perfect eyes. He sees everything in perfect. He created it. We have to acknowledge that. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Two chapters over, chapter 16 in Proverbs says, starting in verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And one more. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Solomon prayed to the Lord for wisdom, and he was given it. And he makes three statements right here that says that, you know what, we just don't know. That there is someone who is above us, and as humans, you know, we can't figure it out right because we are tied up in our own desires, our own thoughts, our own lusts. And yet, as I said before, when we're entered into the waters of baptism, when we've come out, this new creature, we've been conceived, we start to grow. You know, it's required of us that we understand and that we act in a manner through our lives that God is above us. You know, we have to start living in this manner, relying on God to lead us through this life, you know, understanding that he knows and he knows best. And, you know, I think a lot of times, I know growing up, I knew that I was supposed to rely on God. And I wanted to. I really wanted to. And I would say it with my mouth, and I would say it to others that I wanted the Lord to lead me. And yet in my heart, I fought him every step. I felt like I knew better. I had a better way. I had a better path. And you know, if we truly want the Lord to lead us, we have to stop trying to solve things ourselves. I stood and give many testimonies, and I know most of you know my testimony that I received the greatest blessings in my life when I finally decided, you know what, I'm tired of messing things up. And I feel like that was the time of my life when I was spiritually born. Because I decided that I was going to give it up to someone who knew better. And I was going to follow him, and I was going to trust in him. I was going to study and try to better understand the Lord. And when I did that, I want to say this the right way, I began to see eye to eye with God. Not as an equal, because I'm not equal. I'm not equal with God. But I began to see purpose in my life the same as God had purpose in my life. I began to see beyond those things that I was just being torn up about, and to see what the Lord truly had in store for me. And in that, I could be patient. And I know that right there is a situation that a lot of you sitting out there are in. Maybe you've spent a lot of time trying to figure things out on your own, wanting the Lord to bless you, and yet you can't get past yourself and what you think is best. And I have to tell you guys, and I have to tell you that this is what I feel in my heart, is that we can't truly have the answers to the big things in life and to those important things that we need until we decide that we're going to put the Lord first, that we're going to acknowledge that he is above all else. And I feel like I can stand up here and I can say that being one who has been a recipient of his blessings. Not that I'm perfect, I'm far from it. But I can see in my life that those times when I was able to do that and rely on God and get past myself, I've been blessed beyond all measure. You know, I begin to see eye to eye with God. I made that statement, and I hope you all understand that. I'm not saying that we're equals with God, but we begin to be able to see things how He wants us to see us, with that spiritual eye. And that's because our will is no longer clouded by personal desire. We have the same will as the Lord, and there is a time when that has to happen in our lives if we truly want to be able to serve Him. I want to, real quick, just talk about this statement that Alma made about having the Lord's image in our countenance. It says, have you received His image in your countenance? And I want us to think for a minute, going back to this thought about this child. How many of us have seen sonograms? We all seen that, right? You go into the office and the lady squeezes this tube of goo on your wife's stomach and sticks this thing on there, and you see this blob on the screen, and she says, oh, it's a boy. And says, this is why, and it just looks like a blob. You might see a heart beating or something like that. And I don't know how new this is. I'm sure it's pretty new, but when we went in for Easton, they had the 3D sonograms. They get a little 3D picture, and you can see the baby's face and all that, and you know what it's going to look like. And it was really cool. And I'm glad that 3D sonogram didn't look like my son didn't. I'm trying to say this right. That 3D sonogram didn't look like my son when he came out. Had it looked like my son, it would have looked like a turtle because he had a big old upper lip and all that sort of stuff, you know. And every time I see these 3D sonograms, I only think that it's a waste of money because the kid doesn't look like that. And, you know, until a child's born, we don't really know what it's going to look like. And I think that this is the same spiritually, that until we're born of the Spirit, until we're born of God, like I've been talking about here, abiding in His Word, understanding that the Lord is above all, that we can't really bear the image of God in our countenance. And I don't mean that people can't see us as good people. I don't mean that people can't see us as someone who's trying. But once we're able to put God above all else and follow Him and rely on Him, thinking how He would want us to think, acting how He would want us to act, doing the things that He would want us to do, that's when people can look at us and they can say, you know what? That is a child of God. You know, we've heard the statement before that you know, it's a spitting image of His Father. You know, He couldn't deny Him if He wanted to. And, you know, until we make that step and we are spiritually born, we can't truly be that child of God and looking like that child of God where people look at us and they see that. And I don't know that I'm really saying that how I want to, because I feel like it's real discombobulated when I say that. But I hope you get what I'm saying, is that, you know, to be truly seen as that child of God, that means that our entire life has to be dedicated to Him, acting the way that the Lord wants us to, placing Him above all else. And that is easily seen in all that we do. And I want you to think, as I go on here, or maybe tonight you think about it, is that, you know, have you received the Lord's image in your countenance? When people look at you, can they easily recognize that you are a child of God? When they look at you, they can say, you know what, He couldn't deny Him if He wanted to. And that's hard. That's hard. And that could be something that sometimes, you know, sometimes someone's acting in that manner and you can see it and sometimes you can't. But it's important that we put ourselves in the position in our life and doing the things the Lord wants to, that people can look at us and they can truly see that we are a child of God. You know, after the child is born, we've gotten to the period of birth now. You know, this child is born and the child quickly begins to grow and mature. And as this child grows, you know, as parents, we begin to nurture it and direct it. You know, it grows at the specific direction of the parents. And not, you know, we can't control how tall they are or anything like that, but we feed it what we want to feed it. You know, we dress it in what we want to dress. We speak around that child how we want to speak. That child begins to learn those things. And this is the same, that when we're born of God spiritually, we continue to grow and progress in the manner that God wants us to. That's in putting the Lord first, because we have this give and take with the Lord. We're seeing eye to eye. He's letting us know the things we need to do and we need to change. And we begin to be directed and live our lives how the Lord wants us to. I want us to remember, and I just want to revert back real quick, that baptism is the gate. You know, but once we enter into the gate, there's still a road to walk. And that road to walk, you know, is when we're born spiritually. We need to remember, too, how true communication is accomplished when we're talking about a child and its parent. And true communication is accomplished when both sides are understood. And, you know, with my son, we can semi-communicate. He starts crying, and I give him things until he stops. And sometimes I give him the right thing, and sometimes I don't. You know, and I can usually assume what he needs. If he needs to eat something or have something to drink, he needs a new diaper, or if he's tired. But, you know, there's a lot of times I just don't know. He cries, and I just don't know. You know, like when he's sick. You know, he's crying, and I just don't know. And, you know, that's the same in our spiritual walk. And as we begin to grow, you know, we're able to converse with God better. We're able to understand Him better. And we understand God better. Now, notice that I'm not saying that God understands us better, because God understands us perfectly. But I feel like it bears pointing out that when we are truly living dedicated to God, that we're able to place our needs appropriately before Him. And that when we've received His image in our countenance and we're walking that path that He wants to, placing Him above all else, the Lord helps us prioritize those things. And maybe those things that were important before aren't so important again, because we're not so tied up in ourselves. Let's turn to the book of Mosiah, chapter 11, and we're going to go to page 288. And this is a story of Alma's son, Alma. And you probably remember that he and Mosiah's sons of Mosiah, were going around trying to destroy the church. And one day they were visited by an angel. And Alma was spoken to, and basically he just became limp and couldn't... didn't have any strength or anything like that for several days. And after fasting and praying, he was given strength, and he stood up. And he made these couple statements starting in verse 186. It says, "For he said, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming His sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God." You know, the statement that's made here, and I think it's important, is that all men must be born of God and changed from their carnal and fallen state. And you know, when we're baptized, we know that we come out of the water of baptism there, and we're washed clean of our sins, and yet we leave there that day and we're still capable of sinning and going on in our same old carnal ways. But what this says is that all men have to be born again and change from that carnal state to a state of righteousness, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. That tells me that after baptism, you know, it's not it. And I think we all know that. And yet sometimes I think we forget, and we think that baptism, we do it and we're done. But the Lord expects us in our life to progress spiritually. Once again, I just want to emphasize that baptism is essential. It's essential to eternal life. It's the gate showing that we're willing and desirous to follow after Christ. But I want us to think for a minute how many, and this, you know, makes me sad, but how many we see that are baptized and then they just are. And they flounder, and they just don't seem to be progressing spiritually. You know, they've made the commitment, and yet they're tied up with the cares and the things of life. And that can't be us. That cannot be us, because that last scripture we read made that important statement, that we have to be changed from our carnal and fallen state, become new creatures, or we can't inherit the kingdom of God. And I feel like that means that we have to continue to progress spiritually, growing, following after the Lord. And I feel like this requirement is spelled out in one of Christ's parables. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, we're going to read about the parable of the talents. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And I want to interrupt right here, and I want to say that I feel like these talents that the Lord is that this Lord has given to his servants is this gospel. Is their spiritual walk, their understanding of the gospel, is this gift that we've been given. And if we look here, we see that the Lord delivered them to every one of his servants. Every single one of them received this talent. "And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made him another 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2 also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, that I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my own coming I would have received mine own with usury. I feel like when I read this, what it was saying to me is that, you know, these talents that was given to each of these men, each of these servants, was this gospel, was this understanding, this spiritual walk. You know, everything that we've received, all wrapped up right there, the Lord gave it. And I can't explain what the 5 is and the 2 is and all that, but what I understand is that the Lord gave everybody that. And that last servant made this statement, and I feel like this is important right here. He says, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where there has not sown and gathering where there has not strawed. And then the Lord says the same thing. You knew that I reap where I sow not and that I gather where I have not strawed. That tells me that all these men who received this thing, just the same as all of us who have received this gospel, we know that the Lord expects us to progress. The Lord expects us to grow spiritually. We're not supposed to sit and be stagnant. We're not supposed to sit and figure we've done good enough because we've been baptized and we occupy a seat every Sunday and every Wednesday. That's not good enough for the Lord. And I'm going to make a kind of bold statement here, but that's not good enough for the blessings that we truly want from the Lord. And I can't look in anybody's heart here and say how you feel or what you believe, but what I will tell you is if there are things in your life that you've been trying to figure out for a long time and you're not getting answers, I think you need to look at what you're doing in your life and if you're truly using what the Lord has given you appropriately. We're expected to progress spiritually, and we progress spiritually by making the Lord the center of our life. That's what's important. The Lord expects us, and He says it right here, that you know that I'm going to expect you to do more with what I've given you. And as I read that, and as I've thought about that, I feel like that's weight on my heart. That have I done with what the Lord has given me like He would want me to? I don't know. I hope I am. I'm trying. I don't always. God's got to be above all else. Brothers and sisters, God has to be above all else. He is above us. We are below Him. He knows best. You know, we have to study to understand Him. Study the Scriptures to better understand Him. We have to humble ourselves to be able to hear Him. And those things that we have questions about, those things that we want direction in, you know, we have to humble ourselves to hear Him. We have to pray. We have to pray earnestly for Him to hear us. And our brother talked about that this morning, how important that it is that we pray without ceasing. Heartfelt prayer. He talked about that. That in the book of Moroni, it says that, you know, if you don't pray with real intent, and, you know, my first sermon, I hit on that just a little bit, that, you know, I wonder what kind of blessings we've missed out on because we're not praying with real intent. God must be above all else. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Christ says this: If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. God has to be above all else. He has to be before our families. He has to be before our school, before our work, for everything else. And this word hate doesn't mean that we hate them and we want them to die or anything like that, but it's that we love God more, that He is more important. And He's more important than our family, than our brothers and sisters, than our own life. And that's how we can truly walk with Christ. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read two verses here. Of just another thing that we have to think about. What we have to do to truly be spiritually born of God. 1 John 5, starting in verse 4, says, Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We'll skip over to verse 18 here. It says, We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And you know, that removing sins from our life, that comes as we have that closer walk with God. And I've heard many of my brothers pray this, and I pray it myself, and I know that it works, is that I ask the Lord, show me what I need to change. That I'll be able to serve you how you want me to, that I'll be able to be given blessings and answers. You know, and as my walk with God grew, the Lord began to show me those things. And He shows me daily. And I got quite a laundry list. That's what the Lord expects of us. So here we are. I've laid out some of these things that, you know, we've gone from beginning of baptism to this conception of this child to birth to spiritual birth. I believe that spiritual birth, spiritual being born of God, is putting God above all else. But I want to remember, I want to touch on this quickly, that doesn't mean that we can't go backwards. You know, once we've received His image in our countenance, once we're walking with God, that doesn't mean that we don't have a choice. We have free agency to choose what we want to. And right now, you know, I have a choice. If I wanted to, I could give up my ministry. I could turn around, just decide to do whatever I wanted to. I'm going to go and enjoy life and all those things that I feel like I missed and all that sort of stuff, you know, but I want to point this out, and especially to those of you, maybe those of you who are young and who are praying over and over again to the Lord, and you want to be directed and you want to be guided, that what I've spoken about here works. What I've spoken about here is true. That when we put Christ, we put God above all else, and we start walking how He wants us to walk, we're seeing eye to eye with Him, that we're given blessings beyond all that we can understand. All that we can imagine. And my thing is that I know that right now I have a choice. I could turn away from all this, but my life is so good. My life is so good. My blessings are so great. I can't imagine not having God. I can't imagine going back to the time when I wasn't seeing things how he wanted me to. And I understand that everything that I am right now is because of God. And I understand that everything I am right now is because I found a way to put the Lord first, and I mess up all the time, brothers and sisters. But I know that God is above me and that He knows better than I do. And I pray for each of you that you know that. We can go back. Let me set up a quick scenario here. You guys can think about this for a second and think about, has this ever been you? I'm sure we've all seen this before. Mom and a child, let's say 9-year-old child, are out shopping, right? And the son is walking next to mom and helping her shop. He's a polite kid, being friendly. He's helping mom. Mom is saying, hey, will you go grab that for me? The kid's doing it. But then all of a sudden, that kid sees a toy. Or then he sees some food that he wants or something. And the kid asks mom, hey, can I have that? And mom says, no, you know what? Not right now, son. Please, I really want that. No. Son, you know, you already have that. You know, you don't like that food. I bought you that last week. And we've all seen it. The tantrum that this child throws. My kid right now, he's good at throwing tantrums. He does the arching his back thing and all that. It's obnoxious. Oh, and we've all seen that 9-year-old kid doing that in the store. And we see what mom does. And mom, who's now embarrassed and irritated, grabs the kid by the arm. You know, and she's dragging him out. And the kid's lifting up his feet and all that, you know. And as the mom's walking out, she's muttering under her breath, you know, I didn't teach you to act like this. I want us to look at that spiritually and think how many of us have done that in our spiritual life. That just like this kid, we knew what the Lord's purpose was. We've been seeing eye to eye with Him. We've been walking in the path that He wants us to. But all of a sudden, something comes up. And we decide that we have to have it. We decide that we have to do it. Whatever it is, you know, it's the most important thing. And we throw a fit because we want the Lord to give us something. And yet we forget that the Lord knows best. You know, I've been guilty of that in my life. When I had things in my life that I just so wanted answers to, and I just was angry and upset because the Lord wouldn't answer these things. We were walking in the same path, and I knew what the Lord wanted for me, but all of a sudden something caught my attention, and it was more important. How often is that us? Life is frustrating sometimes. Life is difficult sometimes. I don't read in the scriptures anywhere where it says that we have to be married to be able to accomplish what the Lord wants us to on this earth. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures where it says that we have to have children or we have to have the perfect job or we have to live in the house that we want to or anything like that. I don't read in the scriptures where it says that we have to be given everything that we want, but I do read this in Romans chapter 8. And I'll read this real quick. Romans 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." What's coming is better. It's more beautiful, it's more perfect than what we have here. And our earnest expectation needs to be for what the Lord is going to prepare for us. Walking with the Lord, we're going to better understand that. We have to better understand that. And when we put God above all else, we're given those things that we need. We're given those things that we want oftentimes. The Lord sees to our needs, and we better understand Him. You know, when we're spiritually born, we experience that change in our hearts that was spoken about in Alma. It says, have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? And there is a change that happens in your heart. And that change in your heart is when you decide that the Lord knows better and you're going to put your own desires away. And that's important. I'm hitting on a lot of things here, and I feel like I'm repeating a lot of them, but you know, I want to repeat it because we need to remember this, that it's important that we allow the Lord to change our heart and we see that He is above us. When we have that change in our hearts, we're able to serve God how He wants us to. We're giving blessings beyond what we thought were possible. We're given opportunities in our life, marriage. We're given jobs, homes, children. That only happens when we get past ourselves. And we remember that our Father in heaven is above us. He's higher. He knows better. He sees with pure eyes. He knows what we need. I have two more scriptures here. I'll get you guys to turn to 2 Timothy with me. No, that's not the right Timothy. Let's get to the second one here. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this, speaking of Christ, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Lord has a purpose for us. That purpose isn't for us to enter into the waters of baptism, to take his name and to flounder. His purpose isn't for us to come here and occupy a seat. His purpose isn't for us to profess that we want the Lord to guide us and fight him in our heart. His purpose is for us to follow him. His purpose is for us to put him first and to have that true, that meaningful relationship with him. And that's when we're given those things that we truly need. I'm going to close here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you don't need to turn to this. I'll read it quickly. I do a lot of that, but I'm already there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, this is a beautiful promise. It says, Deuteronomy 4:29, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. But if thou shalt seek to find the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to thy Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, neither forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Unto thee it was showed, that thou might know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Let's be aware in these days, in these last days, let's be aware of what's going on around us. Let's be aware that the Lord has a plan for us, that the Lord requires of us. He requires of us to progress spiritually. Baptism is the gate that leads to eternal life, but we have to walk that path, and we can't walk that path by floundering. We can't walk that path by being caught up in our own desires. We need to seek the Lord. We need to grow in him that we may receive the blessings that he's prepared for us. And brothers and sisters, he's prepared great and marvelous blessings for us. Comfort in trouble, safety in danger, direction in confusion, and salvation in the face of destruction. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you. I pray for you daily. I see the needs that we have, not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. And I pray that you can seek the Lord. And I pray that you'll be found born of the Spirit as he wants you to, placing the Lord above all else and reaping those benefits that he has for us. Thank you for your time.